We're in the Mikvah of Purim, Ravosa. It's very, very exciting. I would like to welcome my dear friend, Reb Shai Stern. Reb Shai was somebody in my life in high school. He's the only one here who knows where I was in high school. Please don't tell them. But Reb Shai actually learned with me on Shabbos at a time when I wasn't very interested in learning. And I'm sure you have a big chelek in whatever we're doing over here. It's a schuss to have you here. We're in the Mikvah of Purim, Rabosai, and Purim, like we said, is the most exciting time of the year, and it can be the most dangerous. There's a lot of fallout, there's a lot of craziness. Walking the streets of Yerushalayim, you almost want to be drunk just so not to see what's going on. It's just like wild, everything's going crazy. But we're going to get into a zone, and I'm guaranteeing you that whoever is makabel in their heart, what we say in the Shmuz, if you keep it with you, and you can keep it with you the whole Purim, you will soar. I'm giving you a haftacha. Without a doubt, this is the map. We need something to think about on Purim. A lot of times we are just lost of what we're supposed to think about. If a person thinks about this, what we're about to discuss, their Purim will hit places that they could have never imagined. Last week we talked about the fact that the Sefer Yetzirah with the Bir Hagra says that Purim is not just a happy time, it's a time of schaik, a time of laughter, a time that's higher than we could imagine of any type of happiness. During the rest of the year, it's usher to be so happy. Right? Oz yimale schaik pinu, in Olam Haba we're going to be that happy. Somehow, in the month of Adar, and the Bifrat and Purim, there's a simcha, a schaik, that you can't get the whole year round. What's the raya that the grub brings? And we're going to get in trouble here a little bit. How do we know it's such a happy day? Says the grub, the pasuk says, Yimei mishta v'simcha. It's days of drinking. That's interesting, right? This is a little bit dangerous to say over here, but we have to understand. It's days of drinking, says the grub. Days of drinking are not just regular days. When it says days, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to drink for days. It means if you are outside of Yerushalayim and that's your Purim, right? That day, you're supposed to get drunk. And in Yerushalayim, it's Tesvav. It doesn't mean days. I think some people think it's weeks of drinking. That's not the pshat. But Yimei Mishta means taking a substance from the outside, which we normally are against, and getting outside, happier than you would have before. Not smashed, I hate that word, toasted, fried, right? All these bad words of destroying you. I would use the word, and even usually this word is not good, but I'm going to use it, getting high. Getting high. Yimei Mishta means to get higher than you would the rest of the year. But there's a big problem over here. A very big problem, because normally drinking, getting drunk, is not a good thing. What's going on over here? In Olam Haba, you're supposed to be very happy. I would use the words overjoyed. I like that term. Overjoyed. There's joy, and then there's overjoyed. You're not supposed to be overjoyed in Olam Hazeh. You're supposed to be happy. Overjoyed is not for Olam Hazeh. But on Purim, you're supposed to be overjoyed. Why? It's not for now. We're not in Olam Haba. The Maharal says it's very dangerous to drink. People don't realize this. Even if it's not an Aveira during the year to drink, which the Rambam holds in Hilchos Deis that it's a chet, that it's a Aveira to get drunk during the year. However, even if you don't hold it's a chet, the Gemara says something very strange. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Ben Sora Mora, that when someone gets drunk, the Rishayim lose their chelik in Olam Haba. They lose it from the drinking. The drinking takes away their Olam Haba. Why? Says the Maharal, Pashat Alamdis. Olam Haba is a place to be overjoyed. He says, when somebody's overjoyed here, so then they already got their Olam Haba. Now they want to live in Olam Hazeh overjoyed, so you bake your cake, you have to eat it. So if you're going to be overjoyed here, overjoyed and overjoyed and overjoyed and overjoyed, you don't need Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the time for Azimali Skopinu. Says the Maharal, no regular person gets drunk on a regular day Because we're in a world that you're supposed to be besimcha, happy, but not overjoyed. He actually writes, based on the Gemara says that wine was created for avelim. And there are certain parts of Klal Yisrael that actually have been hugim of drinking during avelis. What yayin is lemerei nefesh. He says, why? Let's say this is the norm of happiness right here. An avel's down here. He says, then if you drink, you're not going to get overjoyed. He's not talking about getting drunk. He's talking about wine doing its thing. It starts working after one or two cups. It gets you to a regular level of happiness. So you're not experiencing something that's not for olam hazeh. When someone's down, a cup of wine relaxes him and it gets him to a regular state. Again, not getting drunk, but the power of yayin yisamach levavenosh. So the Maharal says such a person is just getting to a norm from a glass of wine or two. But what's going on? Why on Purim are we getting so overjoyed? So we could just say what we said last week, which is Purim is this man where Hashem turned on the lights, right? He made it clear. La'ihudim ha'isa oira. Surprise! It's olam haba. Everything you thought was bad was good. Everything you thought was terrible was hashkacha pratis. And on Purim, you have to feel that way. So you have a drink, you have another drink, you have another drink, until you feel like, whoa, I'm in olam haba. Right? That's one shot. But I want to take it much deeper now. And what I want to give you right now is my heart. Not my brain. I would like to give you my heart. I'm giving over my heart. This is not easy to do. Usually I give over my brain. But I would like to give over my heart. Why are we so overjoyed on Purim? What is so happy about this day? As I heard from Akiva Leibowitz, he said, Yitzias Mitzrayim was a very happy time, right? We're very excited to leave Mitzrayim. We were on the Memtesh Shari Tumah. So we should be overjoyed all the time. Let's have Chayavinish Levesume all the time, right? It's not true. What's the difference between Purim and every other Yontif? Between that and Yitzias Mitzrayim, what's going on? The answer is the following. Purim, like we explain, is the first time we were kicked out. Kicked out on the street. No Beis HaMikdash, Golus Bavel. From the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim until this period of time, we were doing well. We were still living at home. We were still living at home and we were living in our house with our parents, right? All of a sudden, Churban HaBayis. Imagine a guy gets kicked out of his house. Imagine what he had to do that. His parents love him. Love him. He's thrown out. No communication with his parents. What's he thinking right now? It's done. The relationship is over. I was kicked out by my father, by my mother. I really messed up this time. I mean, I've done a lot. I've given them a lot of stress, but this is it. They've had it. And now, we don't even know where we're standing in our relationship with Hashem. This is the first period where we don't even know if Hashem likes us. Forget loves us. We don't know if He likes us. We're alone. We're alone in Gullus. And even more than that, you know, when someone feels out, they start acting worse. And we were wandering around Shushan with no direction, and all of a sudden, Achashverosh makes a party for what? That Mashiach's not going to come. That was his party. He counted that Gullus Bavel's over, and the Jews didn't go back. So think, if you were a Yid at that time, how would you be feeling? He counted, and he said, Mashiach's not coming. They all knew that Bayis Sheni was supposed to be built within 70 years. Now you're sitting there, and you're saying, wow, maybe the man is right. And he's making a party for that. If you can't beat him, join him. If I'm really kicked out of the house, if I really don't have a role in all this, I'm going to the party and getting drunk. That's what I'm doing. I'm just going to go into a drunken stupor. And it was much worse than that, because Haman had a plan. And this is not in the Gemara, but this is in Esther Rabbah. Haman had this idea of throwing this wild party. And we're going to get very much into Shovavim and Yadim. This is a whole, for all the Shovavim weeks, we are going into the Purim of Shovavim right now. Because Haman had an idea. says Haman, he tells Achashverosh, Eloi keim shel elu soine zima. You know, Hashem hates promiscuity, Achashverosh. And you want to do this people in? Hameid lahem zoinus, bring prostitutes, also em mishtem, make a wild party. Ugzorolem shivo kulam v'yochlu v'yishtu v'yastu gritzonam. Say they have to come, they should eat, they should drink. Right? Mordechai heard about all this, and he got wind of it. He tells everyone, don't go, it's a setup! It's a setup! They're trying to make us be hated by Hashem. Hashem hates promiscuity. He hates Zima. Below Shamul Adivrei Mordechai. Yeah. We're ready out of the house. V'holchu kulam lebeis mishta. 18,000 people and 500. Holchu lebeis mishta. Ochlu b'shasu v'nishtachru. They got drunk. V'niskalklu. And they had promiscuous relations. It doesn't say this in our Gemara, but it says it in the Medrash. Haman won. He got them. He knew this was exactly what Bilam tried to do to Klal Yisrael. Haman said, we did it. We got them to the lowest point possible. They're out. Now we finally get a little bit of a glimpse of how Hashem feels about all this. Now this is going to be hard to swallow, but listen to what happened. The Satan, he said, that's it. Klal Yisrael, I don't even have to work on these guys anymore. They're finished. Bunch of drunkards, they're hanging out with ladies. They're done. He comes to Hashem and says, Hashem, game over. And you know what Hashem says back to him? You're right. I don't know why I did all of these miracles in Yetzias Mitzrayim for this people. They're really going down and down and down. Haveli Megillah, give me a Megillah, v'echtoiv ala kloya, and I'm going to paskin destruction on Klal Yisrael. This is scary. Hashem Yisbarach himself seems like he's giving up on us. This never happened in Jewish history. The Satan came, he gave him a Megillah, and Hashem put a stamp on it. And Eliyahu hears about this. And Eliyahu goes and tries to wake up the others. And you know what they say to him? We can't help. You realize what happened over here? Hashem paskined on them. You know what they did? They're finished. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov gave up on us? What's going on over here? This is very, very scary. Avram, remember me? I'm your Einikel. Yitzchak, come on! Yaakov, Shiftei Ka, I'm part of this. Can't help you. Bye. Shuts the door. Everybody's giving up on us. Eliyahu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe, you have been with us. Right? Moshe got us out of the Cheder Egel. Moshe got us out of a lot of things. Moshe Rabbeinu says the following thing. He says, okay, is there a Yid down there who's good and decent, who can be the tzaddik down there to daven for them? They said, Mordechai. Eliyahu says, Mordechai. He says, okay, I'm going to daven up here. Mordechai will daven down there. Eliyahu says, but it's over. It's over. So he asks him the following question. Moshe Rabbeinu asks him, he says, Hashem made a gzeirah, but how did he sign the gzeirah? How did he put his stamp of approval? Was it done with cheres, which is like clay or mortar? Or was it done with dam? And the poskim, the mefarshim explained, dam is like ink, that's indelible ink that you can't erase. Or was it done with cheres that you could scrape off? He said it was written in cheres. It was something that you could erase. Take a knife, scrape it off. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if that's the case, then we're going to daven and we're going to make this happen. What is going on in this Gemara, in this Medrash? Hashem Yisbarach gave up on Klal Yisrael. Hashem Yisbarach gave up on Klal Yisrael. The answer is Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives up on Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us that we have baked our cake here. We have done everything here to not deserve being saved. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he signed it in a way that he was hoping that it was going to get erased. He was signing it in a way that it should be changed, it could be changed, and all of that was supposed to be undone. Crying and crying and crying, waiting for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. That's what it means. It's not a technicality that it was Nechtam Betit. It was a setup. Bayri Olam wanted us to come back. He didn't want it to end like this. He didn't want us to be kicked out of the house. But it's much more than that. It's much more than that. Because we weren't kicked out of the house either. Do you know what happened over here? Hashem kicked himself out of the house too. The Gemara Megillah on Daf Chav Tes says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Boyu Re'ei Kamach Aviv in Yisrael of Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look how much Hashem loves us. Shebechol Makom Shegalu Shechina Imahen. Whenever we got kicked out of the house, Hashem went with us. Galu Mitzrayim Shechina Imahen. Galu Lebavel Shechina Imahen. You know what happens over here? It's not like a father and mother kicked their kid out of the house. You know what happened? Hashem Yisbarach kicked us out of the house. You know what else he did? He kicked himself out of the house. And he started following us wherever we go. From the back, in disguise, going wherever we go. Bayri Olam kicked himself out of his own house because he didn't want to be home alone without us. He knew that we had to learn our lesson. All of this craziness, Gili Arayah, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, in the first Beis HaMikdash, it's going on. And then all of this craziness, Tzuras HaChashverosh, but Bayri Olam was on our tail. He didn't let us see him, but he kicked himself out and he was right with us. He was there, mamish, in the Golos with us. And there's something incredible. The Gemara says something that's very hard to understand. Very hard to understand. The Gemara says that you have to say Hallel on Purim. The Gemara says, well, there's no Hallel. The Gemara says, Kriyasa Zuhilula. When you read the Megillah, it's like a Hallel. Can you explain to me why that's a Hallel? It's a storybook. I mean, read Hallel, right? And then read the Megillah. Try and compare notes here. These things are no shaykhas. There's no mention of Hashem's name in the entire Megillah. How am I supposed to say Hallel with a Megillah? It basically should have the kedusha of a newspaper. Oh, because didn't you know that when it says HaMelech in the Megillah, it's Hashem? I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. I missed that Dvar Torah. And I'm reading the entire Megillah and Hashem's not mentioned once. What does it mean that the Megillah is a Hallel? Says the Marsha in Erchin on this Gemara. He says, you know what this Hallel is? This Hallel is a different type of Hallel. There's a Hallel like Akiva's Hallel for Yetzias Mitzrayim. When you see Hashem in your life, when you know He's there, when it's a Zman of Geula, you say a real Hallel. You say it out, Shem Hashem. You are Hashem. You did this for us. We're happy. You know what Megillah is? Megillah is that Hashem is hiding, and we're going to prove to you that Hashem has been behind you and in front of you and on your sides and up and down and all around. He's been there the whole time. Read the Megillah carefully. Put the pieces together in your life, and you'll realize that Bayri Olam kicked himself out of the house. He didn't stay in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. He came with you to Shushan. He even was probably there at that, not probably, he was there at that party. He knew about, he was orchestrating the whole thing with Vashti in that place when you were with the Shiksas, when you were totally lost, when you were seeing things that were terribly inappropriate. Bayri Olam was in the room and saving your life, watching your back. He hides himself. But that's the howl of the Megillah. In Megillah, we don't say, we can't point to Hashem. But we read a story and we say, so that's where Hashem was. Ah, so that's where Hashem was. Ah, he did this and he put that together. We see all of the Hashgacha Pratis unfolding into an incredible story of Hashem in Hallel. And there's something more. There's something more. The Gemara says that we were makabel the Torah again. We were makabel the Torah again. Right? Also hard to understand. The first time, Hashem forced this into the Torah. Kafa aleim har kegigas. Hashem put the mountain on top of us and said, this is the Torah. If you want it, great. If not, too bad. Too bad. All of a sudden comes the story of Purim, and we're mekabelin and say, we want the whole thing. We want Svek Sveka, right? We want Tainus Besulim. We want all of Seder Tyrus, all of Seder's. We want all of this all of the time. Whoa, that's wild. Don't you think it's hard? Don't you think it's difficult? No, something changed. Says Rashi, and you're going to have to explain me this Rashi. This Rashi needs editing. What's Pshat in Rashi? Says Rashi, why did they accept the Torah again? B'yemei HaChashverosh. Says Rashi, listen to the golden lashon of Rashi. May avas hanesh shenasalehem. May avas hanesh shenasalehem. From the love of the miracle that happened to them. Can I ask you a question here? I understand a miracle happens to you. What does it mean? Because of the love of the miracle that happened to them. Avas hanesh. I love this miracle so much. Love a miracle. Be amazed by the miracle. You love the miracle? Right? It's kind of like a funny lashon. I love this miracle. You know what I think pshat is? It's so simple. I love this miracle. You know why there was emotion here? You know why there was a heart here? Because this miracle showed that Hashem loves me. We saw in the time of Purim that Hashem loves us unconditionally. He loves Klal Yisrael no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. And he's always optimistic that we can and will come back. It's Avas HaNes. They felt connected from this Nes. They saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave up on them. The whole time, he's been with them out of the house. He's been coaching them left and right. He's been there. You know, I spoke to a very big Yerushalmi Rav. Very big Yerushalmi Rav who told me that he sent his son to Panovich and it was very hard for him. I can't relate because Panovich to me is very from. But to a Yerushalmi, he felt like it was like, I don't know if it was like sending him to college, but it wasn't exactly like the yeshivas they were used to from the Yerushalmis. And he told me something incredible. He said he would go every week to Panovich, and he would sit in the Ezra's Nashim and watch his son learn. I can't tell you who this Adam Gadol is because I don't want to blow his cover. But he would go and watch his son learn. And his son had no idea that he came to Panovich ever during the year. He would just go, a few hours, just look at his son, make sure everything's good. He set him up with chavrusas that would offer to learn with him because he wanted to get the best influences. And his son's all of a sudden, wow, look, all the B'nai Aliyah here, all the big Lamdanim want to learn with me. La-da-da-dee-da-dee-da-da. I'm so gewaldic, right? Guess they love Yerushalmis in this place, right? Not exactly. Because his father was there the whole time. Imagine if I would tell this son, I don't want to blow his cover, but imagine if I would tell this son now, after he's successful and he moved on from Panovich and now he's a big rav, if I would tell him the secret, I'd say, you know, your father, he would cry like a baby. He would cry like a baby because he would feel so loved. He would feel so cared for. That's the Avas Hanes of the Megillah. There's no sof zman when you know that Hashem loves you, right? Why is it that Klal Yisrael were able to be mekabel the Torah? Hard parts of the Torah, because the Torah is a relationship. You never get bored of relationships. You get bored of material that's in your head sometimes, but you never get bored of someone you love, ad ein shir. You could talk and talk and talk with them and listen back. That's why we're in Mekabel the Torah. No sof zman. Opportunity to spend more time. You, when you look at your watch, you're nervous. Oh no, the zman is almost over. I don't want to leave. I'm connected. You're right. At Maamid Har Sinai, they weren't on that madrega. But on Purim, they were. On Purim, they saw that Torah is a relationship. It's not a study. It's a relationship. It's a chance to hear Hashem talk. Sometimes I hear from these girls, they say, you know, you ask how the date was. They say, he didn't let me talk. He just talked and talked about himself and this, and he went to this camp, and then he did this chesed. Like, hello, I'm here too, right? To let Hashem speak. on Purim, they realize the Torah is an opportunity to hear Hashem over and over and over and over. And it's a relationship. It's a relationship. And that's why on Purim we have to be overjoyed. We can't just be happy on Purim. Do you know why? Because Hashem showed us how much He loves us on Purim. In Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were on our way. We were on our way. We didn't royally mess up, even the Cheder Egel. Okay, it was a process. Cheder Egel was like a more fancy type of Avera. The Ramban writes, it wasn't Avodah Zarah. We wanted to connect to Hashem like this, right? Bayis Rishon, Gili Araya, Shvichas Dama, Avodah Zarah, Sudas Achashverosh, parties with Shiksas, Rachmana Litzlan, iPhones left and right, iPads, Xboxes with, you know, that escape route in there for all the filters on the phones getting through the Xbox, right? Parents don't know about that one, or the video, or the cameras, watching and seeing in this, and a person can't help but think, Bari Olam doesn't think I can do it anymore. He doesn't think that I can control myself. He doesn't think that I could represent the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And Hashem set it all up with that erasable ink. And we did it. And we connected. And that's the idea of getting drunk on Purim. On Purim, you're not supposed to get drunk and fall on the floor. You know what you're supposed to do? Dance in the streets from happiness. You're supposed to get to a point that you are so happy on Purim, and it's unbelievable when you hit this level. Some people could hit it maybe without wine. I never was Zocha. But it's a joy. You're happy to see every Yid. I love it. I love just meeting people in the middle of the street with cars honking. Like, let's dance on their car. Yeah, let's do it. Right? And then the guy gets out of the car and he dances on his hood too. It's kvaldik. Right? Real, real joy that's not from this world. This world is filled with confusion, nisyanus. But on Purim, you just think how much Hashem loves you and knows you can do it. And if you don't believe in yourself, you should have another drink. Until you really, really believe in yourself. Until you really, really believe that Hashem loves you. You don't believe it? Have another one. But the Chasam Sofer says more. The Chasam Sofer says something, and I wanted to tell you this on my own today, but I don't like saying too much on my own, too big of chidushin. So I have very good friends, Baruch Hashem. I have a whole staff when I'm in trouble of really great Talmidei Chachamim, who Baruch Hashem are my friends, very capable, written many svarim, and they always are there for me. So I'm going to tell you the Chasam Sofer. It's something I wanted to say on my own, was afraid to. It's a Chasam Sofer in Drashas. Chelek Aleph Amud Resh Hei. Isn't it weird that the thing that did us in was the Sudas Achashverosh, Haman with the Zima, all the promiscuity, right? And we got drunk. And on the same Yom Tov, we're getting drunk? I mean, if you want to learn your lesson about what's the worst thing to do in the world, Haman did us in from getting drunk. And what do we do on Purim? We get drunk. What's going on over here? Listen to a Chasam Sofer. You know what the Chasam Sofer says? He says, this is the Purim story. Purim is about showing Hashem who you really are. And a Baal Tshuva, in order to become a Baal Tshuva, you have to be put in the same situation and overcome. That same situation, says the Chasam Sofer, in the Sudas Purim, we get drunk like a Yid. We don't get drunk walking the streets of RBS where there are girls from seminary around. We get drunk in yeshivas. If not our yeshiva, we find a yeshiva. Or a Rebbe's house. Or a close chaver who's connected with us in our learning. And we prove to Hashem that He was right in saving us. He was right about our greatness. We show Him that we could look like this and hit it. He says a tremendous thing. The Chasam Sofer. He says, you know what he says? You're not supposed to get that drunk. Because then you don't know the difference between good and bad. The difference between Haman and Mordechai. He says, you're supposed to, ad means until that point. He goes, get so high to the point where you know what's good and love it. And then hold that. And just walk around enjoying being part of Klal Yisrael, being a Yid, being part of Hashem's nation, knowing that Hashem loves you. And if you can't believe it, then induce that. Make it happen. And that's a tikkun for everything. It is true, I'm going to be honest with you. I was thinking about, why do I have such great Purims? I really do. Purim, for me, since I'm a kid, Purim is, it's Le'ela Le'ela. It's Le'ela Le'ela. I was trying to think about it, and I realized something fascinating. It's true, I mentioned, I'm sure I could attest to this, I was at that time a chiller, a baller. They didn't have those words back then. But I realized one thing. I never got drunk when I was a bachur. I just never did that. In the modern systems, it was very serious to get drunk. I don't know why. Smoking, like, you could do every avera in the world as long as you don't touch a cigarette. Don't you touch a cigarette, right? That gets you kicked out. You want to do Gila Raya Shvichas Dama Vodazar? No problem. Don't you touch a cigarette, right? That's the modern world for you. Okay, a Gaiusha cup. But I never drank. The first time I got drunk was on a 2-day Purim when I was 17 in Yerushalayim and in Yud Dalet. I had 4 Mikra Megillas. I had 2 Sudas. I had all the Shalach Manas and all the Matanas of Lev Yonim. Vayehudim ha'isa'ira sasim v'simcha. I never felt so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember, and I don't think I've ever said this publicly, and I can't really explain why I did this, because I really was just starting to learn at that point. I grabbed the Rosh Kolo, and I have a very uncanny way of remembering Purim, so then I can laugh about it the next day. I grabbed the Rosh Kolo, and I said, I want you to give me a bracha. I was right out of high school, that I will become a mashgiach of a yeshiva. You know what he answered me? Who wants to be a mashgiach of a yeshiva? You will become a Rosh Yeshiva. I'm not going back to him for brachas. That mamish was a chance for me to feel something that was maybe decades away. But it was a simcha. It was gevaldik. It was connection. And Purim is a zman of shmira from Kedusha. We have to watch out. If you want to tap into Purim, you can't get drunk on days that are not Purim and think that you really... I'm not saying Musar, by the way. You could do whatever you want. It's a free country. But don't think you tapped into Purim. Purim is only tapped into to those who save this experience, you know, at the moments that are Ratzon Hashem. The moments that are connected. The moments that will let you get in that zone. The other people who are doing it are really just kidding themselves. And they're cute. They dance around. They act a little goofy. They march down RBS like they own the place. Right? Wink at everybody or get winked at. Right? But that's a Sudas HaChashverish. That's a Sudas HaChashverish. That means that the whole Purim was to say, hey, you know what, Hashem? You made a mistake. You thought that we could get drunk like a Yid? You were wrong. You were wrong. And during this time, there's another test to see how high we can really be, how connected we could be. A person should make sure wherever they go, not to go in Yerushalayim in the streets, I think it's safe. I don't know. I love the streets of Yerushalayim. But go to destinations that elevate you, a Rebbe, even a yeshiva outside Yerushalayim. And make sure, right? Make sure we're back for the Megillah sober. How are we supposed to read the story that we're happy about if we're smashed? If we're wasted, we can't bechlal know what's to be happy about in Purim. Just go, ooh, 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 right? That's not Purim. It's like a monkey, but it's not Purim. Purim's this man where you go, you read the Megillah, you live that thing, right? You daven your heart out because it's an Eis Ratzon. And then all of a sudden, you go, you blast off, and you take that Megillah to wherever you end up. Who knows where you're going to be? Who knows? But it's all good, because it's all about me and Hashem being close, being connected. And I just want to leave you with another thought. Purim is about thinking about other people. Mishloach manas, matanas lev yonim. People who who do things that, that, again, we said, the worst thing about a drunkard is he burdens his friends. Right? So on Purim day, there's no etzes. A lot of people end up in bathtubs, and in the morning they get to... It's part of the job. Right? I have a bathtub, whoever wants to come. Right? Or a toilet bowl. Whatever it is, you like hug the toilet bowl the whole night. It's really beautiful. Right? My kid's like... Right, that's my kid's Purim, like staring at the guy hugging the toilet bowl. They flush it and have a party. But really, Purim, that's not that the parts that are not Purim, think about other people. Your Dalit, maybe go to a hospital, maybe raise money for somebody or something. Go, be freilich, wear whatever costume. See if you could raise money for someone that you know needs money. Right? The night of Yudalit in Yeshiva, we have a Sheva Brachas. By the way, Rabbi Glazer wants it to be Purim Day, which means you guys could have a blast. But it's a totally different type of blast when it's in the context of Yeshiva. It could be so Rabbona Shalom Day. Guys, this is Purim. I'm telling you, you can hit it. Everybody here can. We can all realize how much Hashem loves us. We can all realize how much we love Yidden and how much we love being part of Klal Yisrael. We should all have a Freilich in Purim.